presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, you've been hearing me say this now for a while, that today was the day, is the day, that we're going to make a really fun special announcement here on Dog Nation. Well, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we are indeed going to do just that. So sit tight here. We'll talk a little football, then I'll get to that. I'm going to tell you why this summer around Dog Nation is likely going to be the most fun summer we've ever had. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Cannot wait for that. But before we get to that, as I said, I want to talk a little football, and I want to do something that's been kind of floating around in my mind now for a few days. And I guess on further reflection, I kind of feel a little differently about this than I did initially. Let me explain where I'm at on this. We are just now finishing the 2019 draft season. The teams have drafted their players, and a lot of these teams have already had rookie minicamps. I saw where DeAndre Baker was already turning some heads up in the Meadowlands of New Jersey a bit. So you've already got some of these guys already working out with their team, but the 2019 draft is essentially over now, and a lot of the online folks then start very quickly turning their attention to the 2020 draft and what the big board could look like, a lot of media folks predicting what might happen. And one prediction in particular I thought stood out to me as more interesting than the rest. And for many Georgia fans, I have to admit, myself kind of included, this comes across as a little bit surprising. Matt Miller for the Bleacher Report, a longtime, I guess, sort of draft analyst type guy, has his early 2020 mock draft. That's the first round predictions for next spring. And, you know, Andrew Thomas is in there, Jake Fromm's in there. That's no surprise. But Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report also had Georgia safety Richard LeCount in his first round mock draft as well as pick number 20 something whatever to the Cleveland Browns. The position of the draft and where he's going doesn't really matter, but what Miller says about LeCount I do find kind of interesting. Let me read you a couple sentences from Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, who says about LeCount, he can be an over the top safety or he can come down and attack in the run game. He has immediate NFL value. Well, that's a pretty big level of praise for LeCount, and I do have to admit, honesty compels me to admit, that I guess I'm probably a little bit surprised to see LeCount being mentioned as someone who might not only be a first-round pick in the NFL one day, but being able to leave school after his junior season to see that get done. And one of the reasons why I don't feel so bad about saying it's surprising to me to hear that level of praise for LeCount is because to hear LeCount himself talk, it certainly seems like that he believes that he has plenty to work on. And LeCount's one of those names that admittedly comes up in our comment section a lot, or I get mentioned on Twitter about a good bit, at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter. LeCount's one of those names that just kind of comes up from time to time. There are a lot of folks who want to see more from LeCount, and one of the areas in particular, it's kind of interesting that Matt Miller at the Bleacher Report says that he can attack the run game. For a lot of Georgia fans, that's the one thing they haven't seen enough of from LeCount, really attacking that run game and really being a force. A lot of Georgia fans say that LeCount has just missed too many tackles. In fact, Connor Riley at DogNation.com has written about the number of tackles LeCount missed going back to 2018. And LeCount himself, when he spoke to reporters back during spring practice, acknowledged, I'm talking about took this train head on and said, you know what? It's absolutely something that I've been thinking about, and that's absolutely something that I've been working on, trying to be more physical in the tackling department for the 2019 season. So here's LeCount basically admitting what a lot of Georgia fans have kind of wondered, could you be more stout when it comes to bringing would-be ball carriers to the ground? LeCount says yes, and here's how honest he was about that when he spoke to reporters a couple of weeks ago.
How much have you put on in the offseason? It looks like you've been more physical since the Sugar Bowl, maybe the effort to beef up the tackling or strength. What have you done in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a point of emphasis during offseason training. I try to put on at least 15 pounds. So since January, I have put on like, you know, 12 to 15, just keeping on bulk, being able to be more physical at the point of attack and tackling, going back to my fundamentals, basic tackling, you know, being able to help the team because that's, you know, that's the main reason why.
Can you tell the difference when you bring it now?
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel better. I feel more confident in my strength and things like that because I feel, you know, that I put in a lot of work to be able to, you know, change this that problem that I had last year.
So I think that's really interesting from Richard LeCount. That's the Georgia safety, of course. That's our buddy Mike Griffith who's asking those questions. LeCount says, I'm trying to become more stout doing work in the weight room. I'm also trying to circle back on my fundamentals so I can help. And he says it, that problem that I have, I'm trying to work on that. And that as LeCount's phrasing it goes, that quote-unquote problem that I have is one of the reasons that some Georgia fans were probably a little surprised to hear Matt Miller think of LeCount as a potential first-round draft pick next spring. However, the reason why I bring all this up today on Dog Nation Daily a couple minutes before we make a major announcement in just a moment, the reason why I bring all of this up is because there may be a little bit different way to look at Richard LeCount. And maybe LeCount himself is maybe not quite aware of this because maybe he's thinking about some of the tackles that he's missed, but there are other people out there who are apparently watching game film pretty closely, crunching numbers pretty carefully, and apparently they're seeing a side of Richard LeCount that maybe if we're only watching the game one time or only kind of, you know, thinking about this kind of stuff in sort of the broad big picture perspective that we might be missing. Let me show you a tweet here for those of you watching on video, and if you're listening radio podcast, I'll read this to you. This comes from the folks at Pro Football Focus who run their Pro Football Focus college account. Now, here's what the tweet says. I'm going to have to read this to you, and then I'm going to take a moment to explain it. Pro Football Focus, the college account, says, both Grant Delpit, you know him, that's the LSU safety, a likely top five pick next spring, and Richard LeCount, the guy we're talking about right now, totaled 22 defensive stops, which leads returning SEC safeties. Both Delpit and LeCount were at 22. Xavier McKinney from Alabama, he was at 19. So Pro Football Focus says, hey, Richard LeCount is right there alongside a guy like Grant Delpit, who's a candidate for Bednarik Awards and all those awards for top defensive players, the Jim Thorpe Award. Grant Delpit's going to be a candidate for all those awards. And last year, Richard LeCount had as many stops as Grant Delpit did. They lead returning SEC players, SEC safeties coming back into the league this season, which is only interesting if you know what the definition of a stop is. I saw this tweet this weekend, and it made me a little curious about what Pro Football Focus means when they say stop. And by reading this definition and learning more about this, this is where we get a more interesting look at exactly what Richard LeCount is as a Georgia player. This is from a different Pro Football Focus story that doesn't, you know, have anything to do with LeCount whatsoever, but it does provide us the definition that Pro Football Focus uses when it mentions a stop, something that Richard LeCount had 22 of last year. Nathan Janke was the writer. He says, a stop is a play where a defender makes a tackle, and the location of the tackle means the play is a successful one for the defense. Now, that may be hard to understand. The basic way of understanding this is, let's say it's third and five, and a running back gets 4 yards. If LeCount steps up and makes that tackle before the running back gets that 5th yard for a first down, that would be considered a stop. It's not a successful play for an offense because they don't convert the first down. It is a successful play for the defense because they prevent that. The basic, I think, statistical definitions that most people use is less than 50% of the needed yards on first down, less than 70% of the needed yards on second down, and on third and fourth down, it's do you convert first down. That's typically what offensive success rate looks like. Defense would be the inverse of that, preventing that from happening. So 22 times last year, LeCount made a tackle in a way that preserved a successful play for the defense and prevented the offense from being successful. Now, I take that as to mean that maybe Richard LeCount's actually doing more on the football field than some people think that he is. Does that mean that Matt Miller's right and he's going to be a first-round pick in 2020? The honest truth is, I don't know. I'm not enough of a draftnik to say that one way or another. But Miller writing what he writes, I think, does cause us to rethink what LeCount's doing on the football field. And according to Pro Football Focus, he may be doing more than some people realize. Another piece of example on this is when Kirby Smart spoke about LeCount this spring, he obviously challenged LeCount to be a little bit more consistent and challenged LeCount in some specific ways, but listen to what else Kirby Smart says here about the way that they're pushing LeCount. You don't push this kind of stuff on a player that you don't believe in, so if you don't believe the Pro Football Focus numbers, maybe you'll believe Kirby Smart right here. Here's the UGA coach.
As far as Richard, I think it's been, you know, inconsistent. He still doesn't know his assignments in and out, and I think he'd be the first to tell you. We're trying to train him at left and right safety, where he's only played free safety before, and that's for his development and growth. So it puts a little more responsibility on him to know the call every time, and when you got to play both safeties, it's a little more taxing on you mentally. And he's responded well to that. He's just got to continue to grow.
Now, when I hear Kirby Smart right there, there's one thing that pops in my mind. wow, it really sounds like they are training Richard LeCount to maybe be the next J.R. Reed. The way that Reed is the kind of the cerebral leader, the coach on the field for that Georgia defensive secondary, safeties especially. It sounds like to me they're saying that when Reed is gone, they're hoping that Richard LeCount can step in and fill that role. Now, if Matt Miller's right, LeCount's not going to be around to do that. But the overall bottom line for me on this is I have no idea when LeCount finally leaves school, whether it be as a junior or as a senior, where he'll be drafted or even if he'll be drafted at all. That's not my point of telling you this right now. But when you look at the Pro Football Focus numbers on LeCount, when you listen to the way that he's evaluated by the Bleacher Report's Matt Miller, when you hear Kirby Smart himself saying we're now cross-training him at both safety positions, that's not the kind of thing you do with a player that you don't believe in. And LeCount himself has admitted that he's got stuff to work on. However, as fans, it would probably be appropriate not to get so fixated on what LeCount hasn't done yet at the expense of noticing all the things that he apparently is doing for UGA. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them. We're just glad you're with Dog Nation Daily here today. We'll have some fun at Florida's expense after a sweep at the hand of the Diamond Dogs later on in our program. We'll talk to our buddy Chip Towers here as well, but the time has come for me to make what I think is going to be a really fun announcement. Now, I've been telling you for the last few days that we had one of these big announcements coming. And behind the scenes, I've been saying, hey, can I make it today? Can I make it today? Can I make it today? And all the, you know, the business folks, the serious folks in our building at Dog Nation World Headquarters, they were always like, you know, BA, we're not quite ready yet. We got a few more details to iron out, a few more things to take care of. Monday's going to be the day. Monday's going to be the day. Well, guess what? Monday is here, and I am now ready to tell you about something that behind the scenes, boy, we've been talking about for an awful long time. We're calling it Dog Nation Days of Summer. Now, the genesis for all of this is kind of this. So many times we have had so much fun going out and about and doing some great events around the Atlanta area. After all, Dog Nation World Headquarters is right here in Atlanta. And for so many of you who live around the state, you have told us, BA, you know, we love the fact that you're doing all these great things in the Atlanta area, but can you please get outside of Atlanta? Can you please escape outside this city from time to time? And can you please come out see us at various places we might live? Well, listen, I have been telling my people about this for a while, about what you all have been telling me, and this summer is our chance to do that, and Dog Nation Days of Summer is the way that we're going to make that happen. And the great news is, no matter where you are, you're going to have a chance to join us on these Dog Nation Days of Summer. And this, I'm telling you right now, is just going to be really fun. So without further ado, let me give you some of the specific details on all of this. Dog Nation Days of Summer on Thursday, June 13th, is going to be at Callaway Resort and Gardens in beautiful Pine Mountain, Georgia. I had a chance to be at Callaway last week for a little bit, just kind of looking at all the details and kind of seeing everything that's going to go on there for us. And I got to tell you, I called my family that night and said, y'all, I cannot wait for Thursday, June 13th. We have a chance to kind of spend that Father's Day weekend kind of, hunker down and having a great time there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. And then in addition to that, a place that you've heard me tell you about for a while now as well, on Thursday, August 1st, we're going to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, right up there in beautiful Towns County, Georgia, a great mountain retreat, two great resorts, two of the finest that Georgia has to offer. And we're proud to be at both those places this summer. Thursday, June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort. Now, let me give you some details about how you can be a part of this with us. This is something that you're going to want to really know. First of all, if you go to dognation.com right now, you can get more details on these events. And then tomorrow, now I want you to hear me very carefully on this. Tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m., you can start booking your rooms to be with us at Callaway Resort and Gardens on June 13th and Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on August 1st. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., you can start booking those. Now, you say, BA, what's the need to act fast on this? It's simply this. For each of these two events, the one at Callaway Resort and Gardens in June and the one at Brasstown coming up in August, we're going to have big events that night. I'm going to host these events. It's going to be 6 p.m. at both places. And by the way, if you already live, you know, right next to these places and you're not going to stay and you just want to come over and see it, it's open to the public. So you're free to come on the grounds there that night and hang out with us for the big event. 6 p.m. is when that's going to start at both those places. But for the people who reserve their room, the the first 20 rooms reserved for Callaway Gardens, the first 20 rooms reserved for Brasstown Valley, the first 20 rooms reserved, you're going to get a special invitation to a special VIP event that's going to start an hour earlier. It's going to be a special kind of exclusive deal, and that's going to be your chance to hang out and get some special treatment and have a really good time. So that begins tomorrow at 10 a.m. So you can go to DogNation.com right now. You can get more details about both these great events, both these terrific resorts, the kind of the Dog Nation days of summer that's going to be taking place all summer long. And then tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., you can go to DogNation.com. You'll see a link there. You can kind of dive into that, and you can start reserving your rooms. Y'all, I cannot tell you how excited I am about all of these events. It is going to be an incredible, incredible time. And my personal invitation to all of you is to please join us there for that. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be enjoying some of the amenities of these great, beautiful resorts. We're going to be celebrating summer in the state of Georgia. We're going to do this in true Dog Nation style, and it's not going to be as much fun unless you are there with us. So please go to DogNation.com, find out more about what we're doing at Callaway Gardens on June 13th, and then what we're doing at Brasstown on August 1st. It's Dog Nation Days of Summer. Could not be more excited about seeing all of you out and about here this summer. All right, we'll talk more about this throughout the our show. I also want to do the Zamir White video, but we're going to do that later on. We're running just a little bit late right now. So let me get back to football. Let me get into a discussion with our buddy here. It's great to have all of you with us today on Dog Nation Daily. Can't wait to see you for Dog Nation Days of Summer. Let's talk to Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Great to have Chip Towers here on our program, Dog Nation Daily. Chip had a fascinating look at DogNation.com over the weekend. Tom Mars, a name that many of you are very familiar with, he's become a real kind of central figure in this new transfer portal age that we live in, including very influential with a now couple former Georgia players. We'll talk to Chip about that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me just say to Chip, happy Monday, and appreciate you being with us here today on the program. Hope you had a nice weekend.
I had a great weekend. Always a pleasure to hang out with you, B.A.
So, Chip, let me talk to you about something that I just discussed before you kind of we kind of move on to anything else. I talked off the top of the program today about Richard LeCount, and Chip, I'm as much as anybody else. You know, I'll admit I've noticed those moments during games where it seemed like, you know, LeCount had opportunities to make tackles that he kind of missed on, and some stats have been kind of floated out there that point that out. LeCount himself has been pretty open and honest about wanting to be a better tackler. And yet, off the top of our program today, I also cited some different evidence, whether it be, you know, Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, kind of talking up LeCount as a player, Pro Football Focus, having some numbers to back up that LeCount might be better than many of us realize. Kirby Smart, seemingly in my eyes, cross-training him to maybe one day do some of the things for Georgia that J.R. Reed's expected to do right now, essentially be the leader of that secondary core, if not the entire defensive back unit. I guess from your perspective, what is the overall story from LeCount? It seems like some fans, maybe myself included at time, fixate on some of the things that he's not doing, but maybe there's a case to be made that he's doing a whole lot more than maybe sometimes just a brief glance at the game film might realize. How do you feel about that?
Well, I personally am and a big Richard LeCount fan when it comes to a football player. I think he probably is, you know, he's an enigma in a lot of different ways. And I think that starts with the way Kirby talked about him and the way Kirby treated him at the very beginning of his career and really all the way up until this spring. But anytime you see that kind of focus from a coach, it's because he sees the potential in him. And so one of the things about Richard LeCount is he's so quick and has such good ball awareness that oftentimes he's in position to make a play that everybody looks at and thinks he should make that play. The fact of the matter is a lot of other people wouldn't even be in that position, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's hard what he does. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's really quick. He's one of those quick twitch guys. And listen, if you're ever bored on an afternoon and you just want some entertainment, you know, go Google some of the Richard LeCount huddle highlights from his days at Liberty County High School. It's really unbelievable what he did as a receiver, as a kick returner, and once he gets the balls in his hand. And that's where I think Richard LeCount has perhaps been a little bit behind in what I thought he was capable to do. I mean, he's entering his his junior year now. He's out of games. But when he gets his hands on some footballs, I really think he could be just an incredible, exhilarating guy to watch. And he's been really, really close so far. And a lot of that has to do with trying not to, it's a dangerous position, trying not to get burned, trying not to get burned deep. But he's really, really working hard on coming up and being a better tackler and making better plays on the ball. And I think he will. It's just a matter of time. He's just a junior. He's played a lot for a junior. But I think the best is ahead of Richard LeCount.
Let me talk about something else that I intended to get to before you joined us, and we just been kind of busy, haven't gotten a chance to. There's some video that's kind of floated around of some Georgia running backs kind of going through their paces, doing some work, and I think we have this video. Let's show it to our video audience, give them a chance to see. You see the red hoodie there belonging to a Georgia running back, Zamir White. And Chip, the one thing that I've kind of joked about a lot is that I love seeing these workout videos that have been out there of White, and I, you know, am certainly impressed by that, but a lot of what we've seen from Zamir to this point has been kind of from the waist up, and clearly he's in good shape as far as that's concerned, but I was looking to see some lateral movement from him. I've seen some straight ahead running during practice. This is the thing, Chip, that I said I was looking to see. Now, I'm not going to make too much out of a video because, honestly, it's hard to know, you know, what the full context of all of this is. But there's no doubt there's some cutting going on. There's no doubt there is some lateral stuff taking place. He's putting pressure on that knee. He's not being tackled by anybody or anything like that. But this lends credence to me to something that Kirby Smart said at the end of G-Day, that Robert Edwards said on our program a few weeks ago, that right now it certainly appears that Zamir White is well on his way to being on pace for that recovery in time to be a contributor in 2019. Is that kind of what you're hearing and kind of what you've suspected on this as well?
Well, there's absolutely no question that he'll be ready for prime time in 2019. And the question is, just at what point? I mean, I based on the timeline and everything I know about Zamir White, you know, these are simple ACL injuries, you know, so they can be really complicated. This is not a Nick Chubb, everything else in the knee blown out, or a lot of those other things we've seen. These are, you know, for whatever reason, Zamir White, the way God made him, had a tendency to injure those ACL. That's been taken care of surgically. These guys really know what they're doing now. And come August, when preseason practices begin, it'll be nearly 12 months exactly since his second knee injury. Ever since Zamir White came out in spring practice, I've been amazed by what I saw. And, you know, every time we were out there for the brief media observation period, he was running pretty much full speed through all the pre-practice drills that Zamir White, that all the running backs do. But it's still the 11-on-11 that we just don't know of. It's the contact. That's what you don't see in this video. That's what you don't see in anything else. He's cutting. That's natural. He's, what, 8 months? 8 months plus into his recovery? Of course, he should be cutting hard on it right now. But it's different when you start sustaining contact. And here's the great thing for Georgia. They don't have to take a risk here. They're pretty well set at running back. I think DeAndre Swift can carry the load. I think you can throw a little of that load to Brian Herring and James Cook, right? I mean, I even think Prather Hudson can help you out whenever you need to. So you don't have to risk a guy that I think is a potential franchise player. That said, I mean, we're talking about when Georgia opens on August 31st at Vanderbilt, you're talking about nearly 13 months since that last knee injury. I think he should be good to go, and it's not going to be until then, or maybe a scrimmage or two before then, that we know. And quite frankly, Zeus knows that, you know, everything's going to hold up. I can handle some contact, get over the psychological part of it, and be who, you know, Zamir White and everybody always believes that he could be.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Chip. And, you know, Kirby Smart's words have kind of reflected this. They're not under any kind of pressure to push him out there any sooner than he's fully ready because of all the reasons you just dictated. And yet, at the same time, We had Nate Fitzpatrick as part of our Dog Nation post-game show on G-Day, and he talked about how in the summer prior to, you know, White hurting his knee and the obvious famous ACL injury, he said in those moments where the defense was going up against White, they had a hard time tackling. They had a hard time bringing him down, that he was truly the load to deal with that Georgia fans suspected that he might be based on his high school film. So as much as this is not a pressure situation where Georgia needs him or else, if he is as healthy as that video makes him look, as healthy as other people have told us he's on his way to being, this could end up being, I think, a major storyline for UGA. Now, I'm going to be careful not to hype this up too much, because when it comes to Zamir, it's easy to kind of really get ahead of yourself on that. But it looks to me that if White's healthy, this is not a minor addition to this Georgia team. Would you agree with that?
No, not at all. And look, you know, here's the thing about Zamir White. I mean, we've all seen the guns on him and everything else. I don't know how fast Zamir White is. I don't know what he runs 100 meters in. Jeff Sintel can probably tell us. But what we have in Zamir White, what Georgia has in Zamir White, is Elijah Holyfield with some speed. That's the way I understand it. And we saw what Elijah Holyfield could do when he was finally given a chance. That took him to be a third-year player before he really got the chance to do that. But Elijah Holyfield scored a lot of touchdowns. Elijah Holyfield broke a lot of tackles. He averaged better than 5 yards to carry, mm-hmm. you know, in the SEC. You put the same type of physical attributes, and look, Zamir White has freaky strength. Yeah, you can see those guns that he's carrying around. Same thing with his legs, the way he works out and all that kind of stuff. When you put all that together and put it in a package, I think it's going to be great. Here's the second side of that. The reason we're seeing all those videos and other things, go to @Zeus1_34 on Twitter.
Yeah.
This is Zamir White putting this out, okay?
Yeah.
So this ain't a shy, bashful guy. He's got something to prove. And if you could take an analogy, take a picture of, put this in your head. You got Ron Corson, the head trainer at Georgia, and he's holding reins behind Zamir White, and he's just pulling as hard as he can. Whoa, buddy. Whoa. That's what's going on here. So it's not, you know, the only thing stopping Zamir White right now is Ron Corson and Kirby Smart. I think if it were up to him, you know, he'd suit up and go out there and play this afternoon.
I want to talk to you about your piece about Tom Mars in a moment. Before we get to that, there was the huge news in the middle of last week about the field at Sanford Stadium being renamed for Vince Dooley. This is something that I'm really glad to see happen. The number one reason why, Chip, is actually something I thought that you articulated really well when this topic first came up a couple of months ago about the impact that Dooley has had specifically on Sanford Stadium. Its growth from a seating capacity really coincides very well with Dooley's success as a coach and then his success as an administrator and athletic director beyond that. He's probably contributed to more of those seats than anybody else in the stadium's history. So naming the field after him, as you said before, seems appropriate. You also talked to Dooley this week. Now, when he speaks about something like this, there's certain desire and, I guess, obligation to be a statesman and you know, not seem too emotional about it all. But privately, hopefully this is something that he, you know, certainly is going to take some time to appreciate and realize that it is 40 years of a great career now being recognized. How did you find him in a one-on-one scenario in terms of actually, I guess, starting to appreciate this news?
Well, you know, the way he always is. I mean, you know, first off, I think it's wonderful because Vince Dooley gets to see this in his lifetime and you know, you know, when you're 86 years old, there, you know, there's no guarantee. So I, you know, and he's in great shape. There is nobody that is more amazing, both physically and mentally, as an 86-year-old than Vince Dooley. But I mean, I truly hope that he's able to get there and enjoy this moment this fall, so he gets to see it. Number one, but as you can imagine, you know, he's always been very deflective of praise, very humble in that regard. He is really the last of the distinguished gentleman football player, football coach / athletic director. That just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, these guys make so much money nowadays, they wouldn't be interested in staying around to be an AD while they're a coach. But I mean, he truly was a visionary far past his time. And when you just look at the growth of Sanford Stadium, he shows up, you know, in 63, and it was either 35 or 39,000 seats. You know, his first year, it's 42,000. They win an SEC championship, it's 61,000. You know, they win a national championship, it's 82,000. You know, he becomes AD. They build the Sky Suites and they add on. The next thing you know, it's 92,000. He oversaw all of that stuff intimately, and that's not just oversaw it. Like, you know, I mean, he helped raise the money for it. He was the reason the money was being raised in a lot of cases, and all that. So I think this is very appropriate. I've written that for a long, long time, and I think it's a long time coming. The politics of it are really, really fascinating. And later today, I'm going to write at Tower State and get a little bit in the weeds and behind the scenes on the politics that it required for Vince Dooley to get this honor, which he had nothing to do with. But number two is you know, there's a lot of other. I mean, is Herschel Walker adequately honored on the Georgia campus? I mean, right now there's a statue that's floating around the city that's in Pulaski Heights, as I understand at the moment. You know, why is it so hard at Georgia to do this for deserving people? If the people want it, the people should get it. But Georgia has this really complicated, you know, obtuse process for getting anything done of this magnitude. So I think it's a long time coming, and I'm glad that it happened in the time that Vince Dooley and really Barbara, I mean, she's the one who's so outspoken about it. She apparently just, you know, burst into tears and everything when they got this news, which was a fascinating scene for me to be able to describe. It's a deserved honor, and it's about time, and it's going to be fun to see what it looks like and what it's going to take.
Yeah, and that's really well said. Chip, let me finish up with this. Yesterday, folks at DogNation.com got a chance, and the AJC as well, got a chance to see your profile of the now famous transfer attorney, Tom Mars. And obviously, he's become a central figure in all of this discussion, involved with Justin Fields, involved now with Luke Ford. And there's no question that his presence helps. I guess one of the things that sometimes concerns me is the fact that these guys, you know, need a lawyer. Otherwise, the NCAA seems willing to bully guys like Luke Ford, especially until, you know, they do decide to lawyer up. What was your overall takeaway in having a chance to spend some time talking to Mars and learning more about his impact and kind of the direction that he may be pushing college sports in the years ahead? What's your overall takeaway in all of that?
Well, you know, first off, I would say I'm just impressed with Tom Mars as an individual. I didn't know Tom Mars. I mean, I knew of him no different than anybody else. That who is this guy, Tom Mars, that seems to be able to get anybody transferred to anywhere, anytime? And come to find out, and as he describes himself, it's just I'm just a trial lawyer. He's pretty good at what he does, and he's really modest in that regard. He's a really good trial lawyer, number one in his class, the University of Arkansas School of Law, and just a fascinating career. I didn't expect, you know, this is one of those, you know, I reached out to Tom Mars, you know, just expecting one of those, you know, kind of 15-minute phone calls, turn and burn type of stories. But come to find out, you know, he's just a fascinating individual. He's really passionate about this thing that just sort of, as he put it, serendipitously ended up kind of being in this position. But he knows what he's doing, and it was, you know, to him, it's a deserved thing for most of these kids, independent civil liberties and all those kind of things, to be able to go where you want to go and play where you want to play and those kind of things. Now, there's no question that he's a controversial figure, even to Georgia fans. You know, he's a guy who took away Justin Fields. He's also the guy that, in some respects, is taking away Luke Ford, though that's been received in a different way. But someday he's probably going to be involved in bringing a player to Georgia, and I just think he's a fascinating individual. He gave me a lot of time, way more than I expected, very accessible, very transparent. Now, he's opening a practice in Atlanta, you know, as of today, as a matter of fact, which was kind of the timing of that. And, you know, I think he's going to change the landscape. I think he's already changed the landscape of college football. That was not his intention, but he's a guy that he's looking at rules. He's looking at laws. And, you know, he's able to argue on that platform. And, you know, in his opinion, you know, much more individual rights need to be had for these college football players. And I promise you, college football players and college football players' parents will give you no argument in that regard.
Hey, Chip, great stuff. Really appreciate all the work there at DogNation.com. We'll look forward to reading a lot more from you and hopefully catch up with you here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon as well.
Catch you on the other side.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Fascinating stuff from Chip Towers there, and loved his thoughts on Zamir White. I think the video is obviously just really, really exciting, you know, to see from White what you wanted to see. And as I, you know, said to Chip myself, you know, I want to be careful not to hype this kind of stuff up too much, because White just generates a lot of excitement, right? I think he gets people really excited and gets people really fired up. But when you see him doing the cutting, when you see him planting that foot and turning that knee, seeming to be able to put some torque on that without any kind of problem, you're left to wonder, well, what else is there really left to do? And on schedule, on target, all those phrases that have been used for a White's return, I just think that's really exciting to see. Let me also say, for those of you on radio and video who just joined us, for the podcast folks, most of you have been with us the entire time, but for radio and video, those that may have ducked in the show a little late, a few minutes ago in our program, we were able to make a really exciting, fun announcement. You know, I love the summer, and I've always tried to make the summer around here on Dog Nation Daily as fun as we can make it. And this year, we get to take that up into an entirely new level. I think it's the most fun summer we've ever had around Dog Nation. We're calling it Dog Nation Days of Summer. And as I told you before, we got two big events we want you to be a part of. On Thursday, June 13th at Cowie Resort and Gardens, and on Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. These are two of the finest resorts that Georgia has to offer. We're going to be at both of them hosting big events. That night starting at 6 p.m., but we also want you to join us and be a part of those events. So if you live close, you can just come on by and see us. If you are around the state or around the country, really anywhere, and you're looking for an excuse for a great summer getaway, these two events are going to be great chances for you to do that. On June 13th there at Callaway, on August 1st there at Brasstown. And the room rates, as we said before, tomorrow they will be available for purchase starting at 10 a.m. So go to dognation.com. You can learn more about these events. And then dognation.com tomorrow, you'll see the link to kind of dive in there and be a part of that. The first 20 rooms to get reserved for each of these two events will get a special VIP experience with Dog Nation as well, that I'll be telling you more of the details about. This is just going to be an incredible time, an incredible summer, as Dog Nation kind of gets out of Atlanta, escapes from the city here to go out and relax and have a terrific time and enjoy the summer, talk a little football with you. June 13th at Callaway, August 1st at Brasstown. This is going to be a lot of fun. So please go check out dognation.com and have that booking finger ready to go tomorrow morning at 10 so you can be a part of our VIP experience there. Also a special rate for Dog Nation folks as well, you'll be able to hear more about. So this is just going to be great, great stuff. Let me do a couple of SEC through stories here, and then I want to have some fun at Florida's expense, which is always a great thing to do on a Monday around Dog Nation Daily. First of all, credit where credit is due. Right now, Clemson is really cleaning up and recruiting. None of this in any way, shape, or form is necessarily all that surprising, but it is kind of a big deal. Clemson yesterday gets the commitment from the five-star quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei is a quarterback we have talked about before. Uiagalelei has taken Georgia visits, has shown some interest in Georgia. I think that Georgia is really satisfied with the quarterback commit it does have in Carson Beck. And once Georgia got back, you didn't hear another thing about DJ anyway. The truth is, DJ was always going to go to either Clemson or Oregon, and I think that Clemson was always the favorite there among that. But you may remember Uiagalelei's name coming up from time to time here on the program. He has now chosen Clemson, and Clemson gets what a lot of programs are really hoping for, and it's hard to do this. They seem to get some pretty good separation between two top-flight quarterbacks. I haven't really heard anybody say how Uiagalelei compares as a prospect to what Trevor Lawrence was when he came out a couple years ago. I haven't really heard that comparison, but Uiagalelei is a premier player, certainly for this 2020 class, and he will now be a freshman at Clemson the same year that Lawrence is in what could be his final year as a junior, so that's pretty good class separation for those two there. That's not the only big recruiting win that Clemson got this weekend, though. They get DeMarcus Bowman, the running back out of Lakeland, Florida. This is a brutal recruiting loss for Florida. Now, I think it's been kind of expected for a while that Bowman might land at Clemson, but you better believe this is one that Gators fans were really saying was kind of a must-get in-state for them. They took a bunch of kids out of Lakeland this last class. Sometimes that kind of stuff looks to me like you're trying to lay the groundwork for future success there in that town. But in the case of DeMarcus Bowman, he does choose Clemson over Florida and a host of others. So Florida just absolutely loses a major, major recruit that it was certainly hoping for. The Sporting News has become the latest national outlet to put out its way too early top 25 post-spring edition. And stop me if you've heard this before, but Georgia does come in at number 3 on this. However, the Sporting News, a little bit different. They have actually Alabama right ahead of Clemson in its way too early top 25. Oklahoma, Ohio State, the teams right after Georgia. So another, you know, kind of group here has put Georgia in as the number 3 team in the country. It's amazing just how much of a consensus there seems to be about Georgia when it comes to that right now, but that's kind of where we are at the moment. By the way, also one more piece of news to give to you. This is more of the administrative side of things. Looks like some candidates are emerging for that potential athletic director opening at Texas A&M. Looks like Rob Mullins, who a lot of you'll know as a figure on the actually, he was the tournament select. I almost said the football playoff select committee, but he was the NCAA tournament chairman, I think, recently. But he's been kind of involved in some of those things on the national level when it comes to sports, and he's also the Oregon athletic director, a guy that's used to spending a lot of money there in Eugene. A&M's got a lot of money to spend there as well, and it looks like Mullins has emerged as one of the candidates to potentially replace Scott Woodward, who you may be aware of, recently left A&M to go to LSU. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, on the day that we've announced Dog Nation Days of Summer, let me also transition here to something else we like doing in the summer, which is mocking and making fun of Florida. And today in our program, we actually did a couple different ways to do this. First of all, congratulations go out to the Diamond Dogs. And it was really fun to me to see how many of you had fun with this. Sweeps of Florida for Georgia, they've been few and far between over the last few years. Florida, to its credit, has been a very good college baseball team. They are not as good this year, but Georgia came into Foley this weekend really needing some big wins because, let's face it, it had got beaten up bad by Mississippi State the previous weekend, and it's dealing with the kind of the uncertain status of Emerson Hancock, their ace Friday night pitcher, who's missed each of his last two starts. Well, Georgia got those. The Friday night win, Tony Losi did a great job. Saturday's game got rained out. Then they played 2 7-inning games as part of a doubleheader on Sunday. That's an SEC rule, or maybe an NCAA rule. Either way, I think it's an SEC rule that when you play the doubleheader, you have to play the 7-inning games. But Georgia wins both of those. And it was just a really great weekend at Foley Field. Great crowds enjoying the beating up on the Gators. And after the game, Dog Nation's Mike Griffith was on hand, got a chance to talk to Georgia coach Scott Strickland, who talked about not just beating Florida, but in the race for postseason positioning, how important these games against the Gators were. Here's what Strickland said after the game.
It's great for us to be able to come here and play in front of our home crowd to back up what we did last weekend, which was to stub our toes and to not play very well on the road against a really good team, but to bounce back and play the way we played this week is really satisfying.
Yeah, I think satisfying is a really good word to use for that. I think it does get Georgia kind of back in some momentum and hopefully a position well heading towards Auburn this weekend and trying to stay in that conversation for top national seed or one of the national seeds. They have a chance to host some postseason games. That's the story here for the Diamond Dogs, and seeing them beat up on Florida was a great thing. And as I said before, watching all of you kind of enjoy the fact that it wasn't just a big SEC series win for Georgia and an SEC series sweep, but also a victory against the Gators, that was a really good thing to be able to see. Now, something else that I also thought was a little bit funny on social media this weekend, Florida has really had a tough go of it when it comes to recruiting. I told you before, DeMarcus Bowman going to Clemson, leaving the state for his recruiting, that has really, I think the kids say, shook. That has got a lot of Florida fans shook right now. They're pretty concerned about the state of affairs, so they're going to be a little on guard about anything. Well, Jervin Dexter is a really pretty good-looking defensive line prospect. He is a Florida commit right now, but yesterday he also tweeted out a picture of himself wearing a Georgia uniform. Yeah, here's the picture. He says, "I pray to the Lord my soul to keep," and it shows him wearing a Georgia uniform, black jersey, of course, is what every recruit wears, and he's kind of got his his hands kind of folded in prayer style. I don't know if this means that Dexter's going to flip from Florida to Georgia. I don't have any kind of inside information on that. I just think it's kind of funny, even if this is meant to be a troll towards Georgia, and let's face it, sometimes this kind of social media stuff, that's what it's intended to be. The fact that it also serves the purpose of trolling Florida fans right now, because their message boards at this moment, they are an absolute fire. I mean, they are on fire with with complaints about the recruits that Florida has not gotten. So Dan Mullen, while he enjoys this summer of tweaking Georgia and mocking UGA at every twist and every turn and kind of being this sort of loud, brash, outspoken guy, also taking some shots recently in some of his in-state rivals as well and kind of, you know, the nature of those rivalries. While he's doing that, he's got his four-star commits taking pictures and posting them on Twitter wearing another team's jerseys. It seems like Mullen might want to take care of some of his in-house stuff before he worries about anything going on with any of his rivals right now. But that's certainly great to see. Diamond Dogs get a sweep over the Gators, and Florida recruits taking pictures in Georgia jerseys. You couldn't ask for much more than that over a weekend. All right, speaking of those Gators, let me give you the official details on this. 919 days. That's how long it's been since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs, and that is great news. It's such good news that we do it on our program every single day. We call it our Gator Hater Update, and we're going to keep doing it for a whole many more days to come, probably at least 919 more on the other side of where we are right now. We think this is a streak that's going to keep climbing and climbing and climbing. So that's great, great news. Something else that I thought was really great news, and I was proud to be able to deliver this to you today, the fact that this summer we're doing Dog Nation Days of Summer, and it's going to be a great time. And I just am really thrilled that two things. First of all, I'm thrilled that the people that work around me here at Dog Nation like having fun as much as I do, because that's always the design of any event we do. Let's figure out a way to make it be as much fun for as many people as possible. I'm also glad so many of you like having fun with us, and this summer, it's going to be a great time. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Have a great day, everybody.